Good evening. Happy Monday. You're very welcome along to the last leg here on WLR. Jordan Norris here, and glad to say the sun is still shining out there. Hopefully another brilliant week of sport ahead of us as well. In the next hour, we'll be taking a look back at this year's Amgen Irish Open, a big win for Waterford FC on Friday night, and we'll have all the reaction from this weekend's senior football action. But first, Damien Vereker is home from Paris as a two-time Paralympian. There was a big homecoming for him in Larchville earlier in the week, and I caught up with him afterwards. A lot of it, from a Paralympian's perspective, in a way, it's down to your attitude and your mindset as much as anything, isn't it?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, as I said, like there are plenty of obstacles, right, that come along. Like, but at that, like, you're just finding ways just to overcome these obstacles and just to keep going. And a lot of that is down to the support that you do get, like, you know, from local people and local clubs, and you know, so they are like ways of getting around things. You do get frustrated at times, but it's just, as you said, just to keep going and just to build up the resilience. And you'll see. Okay, there is always a way of overcoming things, and you,
certainly
not that you manage, like you do find a way of adapting and just of making it work for yourself.
Your wife Jenny is here with you today, and I know you've mentioned her there at the start of the interview, yeah. But I imagine, Damien, that your primary source of support, I imagine she's been with you every step of the way down the years as part of the journey.
She has, yes, definitely. And as I said, like, I wouldn't be able to do it if she wasn't there supporting me, and so it's just incredible where, as I said, like, she knows that the cycling comes first, and I know it's kind of it's very selfish, you know, like, for, but she, I think she knows that, well, that's what you have to do, like, you know, to be able to train. That you said, okay, well, as I said, there are times when you can't go to a family event, and then there's other times feeling tired and you're feeling unmotivated, you know, like to go doing training. And even like when my grandson Archie, when he's in the house, you'd rather, like, you know, be spending time with him, and he's going to be gone home in a couple of hours and I won't get to see him, but and she's there, no, get up on that bike, you know, just go do it, like, when I find her, oh, I don't want to go train, she's there, no, go up and get it done and go do it. And like, yeah, it's just incredible.
Absolutely. I mean, you can never achieve anything at a high level without a big support base around you. Let's talk about the Paralympics itself, Damien. You went out there, I suppose, with good intentions of achieving personal best, giving a good account to yourself, and, like, I'm sure you're very, very proud of what you managed to achieve out in Paris.
Yeah, definitely. I think, as you said, yeah, that's the one thing that you want to do is, yeah, to, it's not even to get personal best, it's just that you can be proud of your performance and say that you know that you've performed, and you don't want to be leaving anyone down at home, like, as you said, like the big support network. And yeah, you just want to be able to say, okay, I done my best there today, and there's not more I could do, and you're just happy with the result and how you're doing. So, and as I said, like I was very aware of the support coming from home, from Waterford, and anytime I was ringing Jenny, she would laugh and said, "You're haunting me." That I was hoping to get a break from me, but she said, "You're all over the radio." She said, "You're all over me Facebook. You're on the television, and you're just haunting me." And, you know, so it was great. So it was just incredible, like, to be getting the support from WLR, the News and Star, then from all the well-wishers then on Facebook and everything. Like, it was just incredible. It's all the videos that were going up. You just want to be there just to do your best. And yeah, I was happy with the performances, right? I don't think I could have done much more on the day, you know. So I left everything out on the road and the track on each race.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I mean, like, there's so many reasons for you to be proud of what you've achieved. Like, and again, you did it in Rio in 2016. You have the experience of Paris behind you now, Damien. What is, I know it's a fairly broad question, but like, what is the plan for the future? Just keep going, keep doing what you're doing?
Yeah, it will be, definitely. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think, as I said, now I'm just going to take a break now for a few weeks just to recharge the batteries. And but no, yeah, we'll have the Track World Championships coming up in March. So I think, you know, we'll be back at it kind of pretty fast, because that's the thing. I know one hand you're saying, oh, I'd love to take a month off, but then in the other hand you're saying, oh, it's so much harder, like, to come back, like, you know, to start training again if you do take that much time off. So I think I'll keep kind of just ticking over, doing a couple of the odd bit of training here or there. Like, I won't be doing that in structured or anything like that. I think it'll be just to go up and just keep the legs ticking over. And yeah, so as I said, yeah, we've the Track World Championships coming up in March, and then sure, the road will be starting again in May, so that'll be the World Cups, and then the World Championships will be kind of, they're normally August, September time. So, yeah, but I think with Mitch, my pilot, is pretty enthusiastic about staying on and keeping going, so that's
great.
Be a big help, all right, as well. So, yeah, I think we'll definitely start again anyway, and we'll see how we get on and where it leads us to.
Definitely. When you started taking up paracycling, Damien, I mean, like, it's a very difficult thing for someone that's an active athlete to be able to look back, I suppose, because you're still trying to look forward at the same time too. But when you first started out, like, to think of all the things that you've managed to achieve down the years, I imagine when you do get a moment to kind of sit back and reflect, it really all kind of comes full circle, I'd say.
Incredible, like, you know, I said where I came from, like, you know, like, when I started, the social aspect is what I kind of got into cycling for, just to meet new people, and then, like, as a tandem, like, you are your own team, you know, so, like, it's incredible, like, I was only getting into it just to do sportives, and which the sportives are amazing, just for not even just for good training, but just for the amount of people that you meet, you know, there can be thousands involved in a sportive. And like, back then, like I said, like, I only got involved just to lose a bit of weight and for the social aspect. And then, just as things started progressing and we got involved in racing, like, it's just, as you said, like, it's just incredible. Like, and funny, as you're saying, like, full circle, because they are going to be a few sportives happening now in the end of September, which I'd love to show my face, you know, and get involved in it.
Of course.
And again, just to support, to give back to support, like, all the support people have given me, and just that I can be there. Yeah, it's actually a great way of meeting people, and so great to be able to give something back.
Definitely. And I know that there's plans for a big ceremony to celebrate the Irish Paralympic team around the end of this month, Damien. And imagine even just being in with the group and talking amongst the other athletes and having that experience of being involved and representing your country on such a global stage. Like, I imagine you've met some amazing people and made some amazing memories.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, definitely, yeah. It's just class. Like, even in our building, we are all kind of based, kind of staying on the 6th floor of the building in the Paralympic Village. But then up on the 7th floor, Paralympics Ireland had their kind of offices, but they also had, like, a kitchen area and living room area, and there was a quiet room up there. They had a big, massive balcony at there, so everyone used to be going up onto the 7th floor, kind of meeting each other. And then just down in the food hall too, like, once you got your food, because there was all different areas. You had world food, you had French food, you had Asian food, and, like, there was just any amount of different varieties that you could go for and get. But everyone then, like, be looking out and say, okay, so where's everyone sitting, and trying to find the Irish lads. And it's good, like, there's plenty of good banter, and everyone, and it's slagging going on, like, and, you know, just after, everyone, like, is asking, oh, well, how did you get on today, like, or when are you, what day are you competing? And a good way to relax, just to meet everyone there, and a good chat, and said, yeah, there's plenty of slagging going on, like, I know, I hurt my eye there the night before the time trial, but so, and I had an eye patch on it when I wasn't racing, and so I was getting called Jack Sparrow for the week then. So, no, like that, like, it's just great, like, you know, just, as I said, like, everyone is just out there for the crack and just looking to relax and kind of take their mind off their events as well, you know, and just, so you're not stressing about them.
Absolutely, yeah. But I mean, like, I think you just summed it up perfectly for yourself there a couple of minutes ago when you said, like, you know, something that you started out in a way, like, something as simple as trying to lose weight, remain active, and then you look at what you've managed to do. You've won so many national medals. You've competed at European and World Championships. You're a two-time Paralympian now. Like, the sky is completely the limit for you, Damien. And just to finish, is there anybody in particular that you'd like to thank for all the support that you've had across the last couple of weeks and down the years as well?
Yeah, as I said, like, there's a big long list of people I could do, but Martin Kerwin from Focus on Fitness here in Waterford, like, that when I started, like, he was just unbelievable with what he'd done, like, to, you know, to keep me going. So Martin came in, he was as a pilot, and he's an Ironman, so road racing, like, at the time I didn't realise the difference between road racing and Ironman, but Martin, he didn't explain, you know, he just got in, like, just took the bull by the horns. He was piloting, he was kind of coming up with the ideas of how to fundraise. He was acting that was going on with the bike. He was taking in charge of. It was just incredible, like, what Martin done for me at the start. And then there's another man like Dermot Blunt, who was just amazing as well. Like sadly now Dermot passed away there a few years ago, but Dermot, like, he was got really involved as well. And like Dermot was the first man about that, you know, he came to me and said when I started the leisure cycling, and Dermot said, "Oh, how did you find the 50 kilometer cycle?" And I said, "Oh yeah, I loved it, but I just thought it was a bit short." I said I was only getting into it and it was over. And that's what Dermot said. "Well, would you like to do the 90K? And as for me, as a vision impaired athlete, or not even vision impaired athlete, as a vision impaired person, this is just amazing. Where he's just not saying, "Oh, you're not going to be able to do it." He just asked me, "Do you want to do it?" And when I said, "Yeah," he said, "Okay, we'll train for it and we'll go do it." And that was it. Like, so Dermot, when we finished that 90K, just even before we got off the bike, Dermot said, "Right, I'm going to do it 160 kilometres with you next year." Then when we done that, like, Dermot was there, okay, came to the house. All the hype from London was, you know, was still there in September time. And Dermot came in and said, "Oh, what age will he be in 2016? And when I told him I'd be 36, and he said, "Oh, okay, that's not too bad." He said, "How do you feel? Would you like to try and qualify for the Rio 2016? And so that was just where it all started for me, just to, you know, to start racing. And so, yeah, so there are two people here in Waterford that were just unbelievably, you know, good to me. But then you also have the Cumber Club. Like, there's plenty of lads there that have been helping me over the years. You've had Kel Nolka here, which has also been a big supporter with me. And just coming up with fundraising ideas for me as well. And also just with supporting, like, getting me Oakleys as well. And even when I was getting classified, Kel was a big help in that. And Kel is an optician here, so Kel was definitely a big help in doing all the paperwork and the eye tests for me, and also getting me in touch with ophthalmologists as well, so to do the classification. And even with the slight eye injury, like, Kel was, when he got home and I was telling him my eye was sore, and Kel was straight there out to me yesterday and getting me out to see an eye surgeon here in Waterford. So he's just been amazing as well.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, there are so many people that you could thank. I don't doubt that down the years. But I think to perfectly sum up everything, Damien, that's happened down the years, like, I think so much of the limitations that we always put on ourselves are mental as opposed to physical. Like I just said to you a couple of minutes ago, it all comes back to your mindset, your attitude, how you apply yourself to things. And I must say, I'm so impressed with the way that you carry yourself, your team around you, everybody. I think the things that you've achieved have been absolutely unbelievable. And all I can say is, on behalf of everyone here at WLR, I want to wish you a massive congratulations and all the very best in future, because no doubt you'll be sitting in here again in a couple of weeks or months or years' time talking about the new achievements that you'll have to look forward to. So on behalf of all of us, massive congratulations on your second Paralympics, and hopefully there'll be so much more to come down the line.
Yeah, thanks a million, Jordan. Yeah, it's great to be here. And I said, like, this is a nice kind of a perk, and, you know, a nice privilege that, as you said, like, you get to come meet, like, nice people, you know. And and I'm just delighted to be here, and I'm just happy to be here, so thanks very much.
The brilliant Damien Vereker there. Stay with us, because after the break, we're going to be talking all things soccer. Welcome back. You're listening to The Last Leg with Jordan Norris. And now we're going to turn our attentions to soccer. A huge win for Waterford FC at the RSC on Friday night. And I was lucky enough to be there and take in all the action.
Well, so I'm here at the RSC, and it is fantastic news to report, because it's 3 points for the Blues. Waterford FC 2, Dundalk FC 1. Goals from Sam Bellis and Padraig Gammon secure a vital win for the Blues in the race for European football. Bellis gave Waterford the lead on 5 minutes, combining with Podjam and racing into the box, finishing fine finish into the bottom right corner. And then on 16 minutes, Amund was on hand to turn home Bagley's cross with a fine header into the top left corner. Waterford FC were 2-0 up for a long time and looked like in control, but substitutes Jad Hakiki and Jamie Gullen combined for the Lily Whites, and all of a sudden, for the last 15 minutes, it was back to the wall stuff for the Blues. Thankfully, as much as Dundalk threw at Waterford, John Mountney with a free header at the back post, but it sailed wide. Waterford managed to hold on. A vital 3 points for Waterford. As I mentioned, they'd lost 5 of their last 6 coming into this. Hopefully it gives them the momentum for 6 big games coming up into the tail end of the season. But delighted to report, full time here at the RSC in the League of Ireland Premier Division, Waterford FC 2, Dundalk FC 1.
Matt Lawler, we've got 3 points on the board. Really, really big 3 points, big result. I suppose a little bit hairy at the end, but the only thing that matters, I suppose, is getting those 3 points.
Yeah, we talked about it before the game. Us as in interviews about it's a cup final. 3 points was massive, however it came. I actually thought we performed really well. Like you said, a bit hairy at the end, but we'll learn from that. And obviously with the run that we've kind of had since the summer break, we'll definitely take that. But a really, really pleasing actual performance, and we'll learn from the last 10, 12 minutes.
Absolutely. I suppose the second goal came at an ideal time because, you know, you all of a sudden Dundalk are breaking to have chances, and then you come up the field and you hit them with the soccer punch and you have that two goal advantage. I thought some of the play in the opening period, some of the link up play was fantastic.
Yeah, but again, we changed shape a little bit today, but the principle stayed the same that we always wanted. Now, it doesn't always happen, but we've always wanted to control the ball in terms of like switching play as many times as we can to play forward, open up gaps and get in behind and create chances. We've got the best striker in the league in Podge, we have, so we have to get balls to supply, and we've probably lacked that in the last few weeks, but tonight was a definite change for that. So any goals at a good time for us, so doesn't matter when it is. But yeah, I thought it came for us and gave us a little bit of impetus to go on and really control the game, which I think we did even after the goal.
I think that first goal as well for Sam Bellis, it's a big moment for him. I can imagine you could see him pushing on from that moment as well.
Yeah, I thought he performed brilliantly considering it's his first. I know he started in the cup in the FAI Cup, but that's his first start, really, first league start. Thought he was outstanding tonight. He's been chomping at the bit in training. Every single day his attitude's been spot on, his application's spot on, and he's got proper ability as well. You don't come through Man City's youth team and youth system without ability, and he showed that in absolute spade fulls tonight. So yeah, couldn't be more delighted for him, and hopefully it kicks him on now to the end of this, for a big run into the end of the season.
One step at a time, of course, St. Pat's next, but six cup finals realistically between now and the end of the season, Matt.
Yeah, we've talked about it consistently, like we're in this position, we need to go. We've jumped two places yet, but other teams haven't played. We've jumped two places tonight. It's huge. You get points on the board and you see what happens from there. So for us, cup final after cup final after cup final, we've prepared well even before the Sligo game. I'm not just saying this, we trained unbelievably well this week just gone. We've trained unbelievably well, and I'm looking for the same now for the next 7 weeks and six games.
Just a final one for myself, and momentum, that's the most important thing going into this part, because five out of the last six were losses going into this, so it's great to have that win feeling back again. I'm sure that's something you said to the players at the end of the match, you want to be feeling like that after games.
Oh, of course, yeah, winning feeling is everything, like that. That's what we're in it for. We talked about the Bowls game, 3-2, that win, like, so we thought about it and we wanted to do it. So for us, that feeling is everything that we do this game for. So yeah, we'll carry on, we'll use it as a platform, and we'll build, hopefully.
And you mentioned the reaction after losing in Sligo. We saw that reaction tonight. It was kind of a chalk and cheese performance, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were so disappointed post Sligo. We were so disappointed. Hence, we've had 2 weeks on the training pitch, and we were absolutely delighted with the work that we did since the Sligo game. So for us, it's been a real, real, real key bit to respond to that. I said in an interview, the gaffer said that it won't happen again, and we mean that. From an application, attitude-wise. But tonight, I thought we showed everything that we are about.
And for 85 minutes tonight, the defensive performance was on point for a lot of it, wasn't it?
Yeah. Moments make games, don't they? And we were sloppy in one moment, but for the majority of the rest of it, I thought we were fantastic. So, I always say defenders never, ever get like the praise, the glory. Being an ex-defender myself, but the only chance that you can win games of football is when you're winning the game, and then that's when a defender can actually win you the game by just keeping a clean sheet. We didn't quite do that tonight, but it'll be something that we were a real focus for us going into the rest of the season.
Ryan, that feels like a massive 3 points. I suppose hard fought in the end, but good performance, 3 points on the board, that's all you can ask for.
No, definitely it was hard fought in the end. We knew they'd throw everything at us. Obviously they're a good side, so we had to defend well in the last 15-20 minutes. Roy, I look a little bit, but I think overall we performed very well. We kept the ball really well in long spells of the game, so overall I think we deserved it.
Perfect start, two quick fire goals, great goal from Sam, and then Dundalk had a couple of chances. You break up the field and Podge gets the second. Felt like that kind of came at a perfect time in a way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they had our chances after Bella scored the first. Thought Bella was excellent tonight in Manpodge. It was great to see Bella though, first start and his first goal. But yeah, no, Podge's goal definitely came at an important time. 2-0 though, we always know it's a dangerous lead in football, so we needed to try to get the third, but we didn't, unfortunately.
We spoke yesterday, we said going into the game, I know you had three games against Dundalk and were unbeaten against him this season, but it counted for nothing going in. Like, it was a tough test throughout, but I think the likes of Rowan McDonald, Barry Bagley kind of holding that control in midfield, that was so, so important, just setting that tempo when you had the 2-0 lead to just kind of, I know, not to rest on it, but like, you know, you had something to defend at that rate.
No, definitely. The Hill boys in the middle, we know their qualities. So good on the ball, keeping the game ticking over. And that's what we need when we're 2-0 up. We need to keep the ball. We can't let it turn into like kind of a basketball game, which we didn't. But obviously, they got the goal and then it got a bit scrappy. But thought two boys in the middle of the park were excellent.
Talk me through that moment. You seem 2-0 up 15 minutes ago. It seems as if everything's going to a plan, and all of a sudden there's just a moment, and then things are on a knife edge for the next 15. Talk me through the goal from, I suppose, a defensive perspective for yourselves.
Yeah, it's disappointing. Obviously, it's a bit of a scrappy one. It's a ball into the box, and it's just kind of bundled in. Defensively, it's we'll pick the bounds out of every goal kind of thing. But listen, they got the goal, and we needed to defend well. Then they had a couple of chances, but we done well then. See it out.
The defensive effort up until that point tonight, though, was excellent throughout, Ryan. I mean, like, anything that was thrown your way, you dealt with it. Like, that's all you have to do. And then after that, like, Dundalk obviously pushing bodies forward, and then they hit four up front at the end, mounting that pressure, everyone getting behind the ball. You know, you work really, really hard to get any 3 points in this league, don't you?
No, 100%. We think we spoke yesterday talking about the league and how tight it is and how difficult it is to get wins. But yeah, as you said, at the last 15 minutes, nearly had the line of five up top, so we needed to sit in a bit more and just ride that wave kind of thing, and we done that in the end, so we're happy.
And it's important for the camp to get that winning feeling back as well, because five out of the last six before this, you know, disappointing results. Get momentum now going into what are six massive games to close off this season.
Yeah, six massive games, you said it yourself. That game tonight, we needed to get back on track, we knew that. But now we just, all our focus goes to Pats next week, next Friday. It's going to be a really tough task there. They're in really good form, so we'll do our analysis on them and hopefully have a good week of training, go there and hopefully get another win.
You're listening to The Last Leg with Jordan Norris. Now, it was a huge week of golf at the Irish Open at Royal County Down. Ray Scott brings us his wrap-up of an incredible 4 days of golf, all with thanks to Shore Engineering.
For 14 holes, Rory McIlroy controlled the Amgen Irish Open. But much like the US Open and the Olympics, one poor shot caused an issue. He missed the 15th green, then chipped 20 feet past the hole and failed to par. He got the shot back on the next, but then on 17 he three-putted for bogey, to leave himself needing an eagle at the last to force a playoff. He hit the longest drive of the week on the last hole of 342 yards, and then fired a 7-iron to 10 feet to give himself a chance. However, his putt drifted an inch right of the hole to hand the title to the Dane.
Felt like I was in control of the tournament for most of the day. Felt like I was playing really solid, doing what I needed to do, making a lot of pars, making the odd birdie. Then obviously the two bogeys on 15 and 17 opened the door for someone to have a good finish, like what Rasmus did there on the last few holes. So unfortunate. I played well this week. Missing the green right on 15 is the place that you can't go, and then just misjudged the speed with the first putt on 17. But overall, obviously really disappointed that I didn't win. But I'll try to take the positives and move on next week to Wentworth.
Despite the disappointment, McIlroy was energized by the crowd.
I must say, I've never that roar when I hit that second shot on 18 was pretty cool. Look, the support I got out there this week was absolutely amazing. I've had a great time being home. It's been too long. I need to keep coming back more often. But from where I was at the start of the week and what I wanted to do, it's a step in the right direction. And, if anything, it just whets my appetite even more for Portrush next year. The support that I get from, I'm very lucky. I get so much support when I come back, and I certainly don't take it for granted. I sort of had to try to keep my composure walking up to the 18th green there, but I I did that as best as I could, and but yeah, it's wish I could play in front of that sort of, you know, those fans in this atmosphere every week. It isn't quite like that, but yeah, certainly appreciate all the support and can't wait to come back.
Matteo Manassero birdied the last to finish alone in third on 7-under, with England's Dan Brown next on 6-under par. Elsewhere, Shane Lowry carded a final round of 68 to finish 1-under.
I felt like I played really good golf in parts, and then you know, just made a lot of silly mistakes, especially yesterday afternoon. But you know, it was incredibly difficult out there, and I feel like I played good enough golf at times to contend in this tournament. But you know, a few silly mistakes here and there cost me, and well, that's what it is. It's going to be a half decent week again, and yeah, we move on.
At East Lake,
that was one of my goals to start the year, so to do that was nice, and obviously get the win in New Orleans is good as well. Contended at a couple of majors, so I've done a lot of good things, good, a lot of good stuff this year. Obviously I'd like to win on my own, but I've still got time, left to top it off. You know, I think if I could win one of the next five tournaments that I play in, I think it would be the icing on the cake, and yeah, I'm going to be trying my hardest to do that.
It's on to Wentworth next week for the BMW PGA Championship, an event that Lowry won in 2022.
Look, I love the place. I love going back there. I love staying where we stay. I love hanging around the area. The crowds, I believe the forecast is pretty good, so it's going to be a great event next week, and I'm looking forward to it.
Seamus Power carded a final round of level par 71 to finish just outside the top 20, and was pleased with his week's work when I spoke to him. Well, Seamus, a level par 71, beautiful conditions, but this course just doesn't treat you in the right, sure it doesn't.
No, it's still a good layout. You know, there's still enough blind shots and tee shots where it's still going to be tricky. And yeah, I played nicely, just made a couple of kind of mistakes again today, unfortunately, and just wasn't able to make up the ground.
It's always nice to have a birdie on the last. We spoke about that the other day as well. Yeah. But it's it is a kind of, as you said, it makes the dinner taste well.
It does, yeah. I said I almost even got one for an eagle, which would have been cool there on 18. But yeah, it's still nice to finish with a birdie and a lot of good stuff and more kind of more stuff to build on going forward.
Beautiful conditions here today and the crowds as well. I know a lot of them are following Rory now at this stage, but you know, there's a lot of support out there, particularly for the Irish.
Yeah, I mean, on a day like today, you're not going to get a better venue. You know, it's just stunning, like with the views and obviously the sunshine every day. Absolutely gorgeous. It's short sleeves on for the first time all week. So, yeah, I said there'll be some birdies and it should be a good finish. And hopefully the crowd gets what they want with it. Rory taking it home.
And speaking of birdies, you're an Amgen ambassador. You're donating money this week for birdies, 18 of them over the 4 days. Yeah. So nice, healthy donation.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I said, like, Amgen have been brilliant to me, and I support them and on something that they're getting behind. I mean, it's just amazing. And obviously, I was delighted to actually make some. I was making plenty of birdies, so it was kind of a win-win. So I was absolutely delighted, and hopefully it makes a little difference somewhere.
Overall, how would you sum up this Irish Open for you?
It was pretty good, very really enjoyable. You know, it's just a couple of too many mistakes, and that it just at this level you're not going to catch, you know, some top players like that. So I did a lot of good stuff. I just needed to maybe just tighten up a little bit coming into whatever I have hopefully coming up here in the fall, and go from there.
And of course, you know, you're just making your way back after that hip injury for last year that really was more serious than you first anticipated, but your health is good now.
It is, yeah, flying it now. So yeah, it took a long time. It was just a weird one. Just had to wait a long time for it, for the kind of like, you know, inflammation to go away and mobility and stuff to come back. So it was an interesting one to kind of learn a lot, and just was like, you know, talking to all sorts of experts on it. So it's good, but like this year now it's been great from like March, April on. So like feeling great and looking forward to whatever's left here in 2024.
You're heading back home. Vegas now is the new home. It's not West Waterford anymore, but back to Vegas. You do have a medical exam on Tuesday, but after that, then you're hoping to get back out, play some of the fall events.
Yeah, I will. You know, hopefully I have a busy fall. You know, the new system in the States is a bit complicated. I missed out. I finished 56th. Well, not finished, but I'm 56th. Now, trying to stay in the top 60, big benefits into 2025. So that's going to be the goal and immediate thing. So I'm going to play some and see how it goes, and obviously hopefully some good results. And I played well on some of those fall events before, so hopefully I can do it again this year.
You talked about that last year. Of course, you were guaranteed all the signature events. They're huge, aren't they? And particularly as well, it's a Ryder Cup year. The point system has changed for Europe, so you would hope to get some good points on the board, particularly in this fall season.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, those things change and stuff, but I mean, at the end of the day, if you play good golf, you're going to be in good position. So that's going to be the focus again. Yeah, and just see what happens. You know, have like, you know, focus and get sharp here for the last couple of months of the year, get some rest, and then off you go again in 2025.
Yeah, we appreciate it. And thanks for talking to us. Best of luck as well for the rest of the year.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Just two other Irish made the cut, with Hollywood's Tom McKibben 2 over, and the young 17-year-old amateur Sean Keeling from Dublin was 13 over after a final round of 74, though his performance was much better than the scoreline suggests, given that he was level par for the first 2 days, but was beaten up by the windy conditions on Saturday. He is certainly a player for the future.
The Irish Open updates on WLR.
With Shure Engineering.
Now, closing off this week's show, it's the Waterford Senior Football Championship. Wins for Ballinacorty, Rathgormack, Denier and Onrhyne this week. Tomás McCarthy caught up with Denier boss Derek Lyons and Onrhyne selector Dathi O'Toole.
Derek, how would you sum up that Denier performance?
Look, I suppose overall we'll be disappointed in terms of our own play. Obviously delighted to get a win. It's our first game, obviously, and not having the game last weekend probably didn't give us any bit of a help either, you know. So I think any teams that are playing the first weekend are getting a little bit out of it more in the second weekend. So we had played a bit of catch up there, you know. So yeah, but look, overall we're just happy to get a win now. We didn't get that win in the first round of the hurling. We needed to get a win here today, and in fairness to Roe Moore, they came here full gun blazing here now to try and turn us over, and they did a great job in that regard. Only for the last 6 or 7 minutes, you know, we've managed to, you know, find a way of bringing on Conor Gleeson, you know, and Jamie Barron kicked over 3 or 4 points there in the last 10 minutes, which is crucial as well, you know.
How worried were you at half time going in 3 points down?
Not being disingenuous to Roe Moore, I wasn't worried. What I was really worried about was our performance. We brought a lot of energy, funny enough, against the wind, like, and another day when you'd be kind of maybe just holding out and just trying to make sure that they weren't getting too much possession, but we brought a lot of ball forward and we got turned over a number of times. So we just spoke about that at half time and, you know, bringing a little bit more control to our game, which we didn't really do in the first 10 minutes of the second half. Managed to get a few early scores, but in fairness to Roe Moore, they came back. But I just think the last 10 minutes, a few changes we made, as I said, having to bring Conor off the bench was crucial, I suppose, really, you know, just gives us that bit of a focal point inside.
How good was Jamie Barron in the last quarter and got 4 points in the space of 10 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, you could say that how good is he or how bad were we that we played him wing back, and if he goes up wing forward and he kicks 4 points, I suppose maybe that's the bigger question, maybe. But look, Jamie is Jamie. We all know what he's capable of. And look, he was well aided by a few lads there. Larry Welch there inside as well, won a lot of ball for us as well. Larry's only back this year. He's been away for a few years. So a few of the older heads there, like, but it settled it down a bit, like James McGrath coming forward, getting the fist pass over the bar. Like, you know, that started the reset for us. Like, but Jamie, crucial there. The patience, having the understanding, not to kick rash, just bring it in there and get the right score and make sure it goes over the bar, you know.
Will you have Aaron Ryan and Dylan Guiry back for Wednesday night against Don Ryan?
We're not sure about Dylan. Dylan is only after a little bit of an operation a few weeks ago, so he's still in rehab there. Aaron's past his concussion process now, procedure at this stage, so it's just about trying to give him as much time as we possibly can. We're conscious of the knock he got, so we're not going to be doing anything that will potentially put him at harm. So yeah, we just have to see how it goes. Look, we're happy enough we have a bench. There's a good number of lads come in there now, and we had to play a lot of lads, those lads in the intermediate game last night as well, so we didn't give, you know, probably be a little bit stronger maybe Wednesday night because they won't be playing a match the night before. So yeah, look, we brought on 3 or 4 lads there now and they all had an impact, and that's even without Aaron and Dylan. So yeah, look, we're in good shape there, but look, we know what's ahead of us now. Ring will be hard to beat. They have to win here today to stay in, and if they do, you know, they'll be coming at us big time.
You have on Ryan on Wednesday and then you have Galtier the following Sunday. How do you feel about playing 3 games in the space of 8 days?
If I was to tell you how I really feel about that now, I don't think you'd be able to put it out on air, you know. Just enough to say, like, it's hard to credit that any structure of a championship, your senior, your most prestigious football championship in the county, like, and you have 2 teams, ourselves and Ring included, playing 3 matches over what was originally 8 days. Now, I think in fairness to, we made an application to get that pushed out, and in fairness around Galtier have pushed it to Sunday, so that's at least 9 days. But we're the only 2 teams in the whole out of the 9 teams are in that situation. It's a totally lopsided tournament in that regard. Totally, we're at a big disadvantage to all of the other teams in that regard, like call a spade a spade. But what we're told is that's what the delegates agreed to back in the end of January when they met with the county board. So I suppose we can't cry wolf in that regard, you know. But it's hard to credit, like, that you'd be rushing a championship that quickly over a couple of weeks. Our 4 games are going to be played over 15 days. Our 4 group games, like, the other group is 4 group of 4 have a luxury of having a week off and our last round as well as everything else, you know. So look, as I said, I could go on and on now, and everybody said I'd be giving out, but I think the message here for me to all the clubs that are interested in football, send the right delegates to the delegates meeting next January and make sure they know what they're signing up to when they agree to a structured championship, because we have nobody to blame, only the clubs ourselves in that regard. But it's disappointing, you know, but we just get on with it. We'll have to do it.
Here with Onrhyne selector Dathi O'Toole. Mike Dighy. How important was it to get 2 points on the board there this evening?
Crucially important after your last weekend. If we didn't get any points today, we were heading into more likely heading into a relegation battle. So a win was hugely important. We had to win. So thank God for that.
How pleased were you with the way you finished the game? I think you outscored Clashmore 1-6 to a point there in the last quarter.
We did, yeah, at 8 points each. Obviously, it's nervous now. We were confident we could push hard. We made a few changes and we went for it in the last few minutes. And as you say, we finished strong in the last 10 minutes with our best 10 minutes. So, yeah, thank God for that.
Yeah. Was Donny Bernock back to his best tonight? He got 10 points in total.
Donny Bernock had a first half of like when he was 21-year-old, he was back to that. At 30 years of age, there's still some life in him, and he had a fantastic game for us today. We're delighted.
And you're back in action now on Wednesday night against the Nair. What are your thoughts on that challenge?
Oh, well, sure, it's the Nair, so it's going to be tough, and the fact that it's 4 days away, listen, it's the same for them, like, but a bit ridiculous to be playing two, three games in 8 days, but we have to do what, that's what the fixture says we have to do, so we have to do it.
Yeah, I think it's three championship games in the space of 11 days. What are your thoughts on that?
Sure, I think it's madness, to be honest. Which I like, I can't understand why we can't play another game at the end. Like, there's still at least two to 3 weeks before the Munster Championship, and these are amateur players, and we have a match today, a match Wednesday, and a match next Saturday. So it's three matches in 8 days. Like, so it's just a bit much to ask, but we have no choice. We have to play it, and the Ireland are in exactly the same situation. So we can't say there's no advantage or disadvantage to either team, but it is a bit unfair on players' league. Yeah.
How challenging is it for both management and players?
Which are all you do now is we get in on Monday and we try and tape lads back together again and see who's hurt and see who's alive and see what they have left for to go again on Wednesday night. That's all you can do. Yeah, it's just the way.
Some strong words there from both men, and I know I'm not paid to give my opinion, but for what it is worth, I think they are right. There'll be 3 weeks before the Munster Championship and you have some teams playing three games in 8 days. Make it make sense. Anyway, I suppose I have no time to be giving out because that is all for this week. Thanks as always for listening in. John O'Shea is up next with some great music. Enjoy the good weather this week, and just to let you know, we are live from Richmond Park this Friday night for League of Ireland Premier Division Soccer. Ray Scott and John Frost on duty, all with thanks to the guys at McConnell's Toyota Waterford. I've been Jordan Norris. Have a fantastic week. Thanks for listening. Catch you next Monday.